be here. Oh, it's a blessing to get together with believers. And, you know, I was thinking during the song service, we sang a number of songs about, you know, what are the people that we're gathering together to sing? I think about all the things about which we have to sing. I thought about this on various occasions. Maybe I've shared this idea with you before, but, you know, more songs have been written about our God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, than anyone who's ever lived in my life. And you think about the most famous people about whom you've read in history. Think about maybe the Roman Caesar. How many songs do you know about Caesar? How about great conquerors like Napoleon? When was the last time you sang a song about him? Okay. Now, you know, I love our American history, and some of my favorite presidents would be people like George Washington. And I think there might be a song or two about him, maybe. But when was the last time you sang it? I love Abraham Lincoln. We're getting close to President Mark, and we remember the birthday of his president. But when was the last time you sang a song about Abraham Lincoln? I can't remember ever singing a song about him. I think about other famous individuals like scientists. You know, I teach science, and of course Albert Einstein, one of the brilliant scientists of the 20th century, if not of all time. Or Isaac Newton. When was the last time you sang a song about him? Think about all the people in the sports world, famous people who are suspended in death at one today. But when was the last time you sang a song about one of those guys? We just don't do it. Why? Because they're not worthy. I mean, they may be great people, they may have great talents, great intelligence, they may have accomplished great things, but everything they've done pales in insignificance compared to what they do. That's why hundreds, thousands, no doubt tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands, maybe even more than that, of songs have been written about them. And believers all over the world, not just in our communities here, not just in the United States of America, but in countries scattered across this world, believers get together to sing about him. Because he is worthy of all praise, of all honor, of all glory. Well, in Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Powerful verse. The verse that has arrested my attention as we have begun this year 2020. I remember a number of years ago thinking about what it would be like if 2020 came. The church from which I came in Michigan is located, its address was 2020 Packard Road. And they like to refer to themselves more recently as the church for the 2020 vision. And that is very appropriate. Tonight, I'd like us to think about some things about this new decade upon which we have just entered, and some things that I think will be a blessing to you. This thought has encouraged you to say, tonight, Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness to us. And Father, I pray that you bless us and consider your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you help us speak through, remind us of things that we have seen in the past that might be a blessing to each other. And Father, I pray that each heart would be encouraged tonight to live in this brand new year, this brand new decade, in a way that truly brings honor and glory and praise to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just realized that as I went down, as I came up here, I think I left. As the new year began, I often like looking at little things about the new year and so forth, and I found some things on the internet that are interesting. I don't often wear glasses, but tonight I'm going to wear them. I have slides that way, but I think I'm going to read. I put them on. Okay? But, we're in the year 2020, and as we got into this year, I saw some things that were pretty interesting about changes that have occurred within the last 20 years. There are a number of things in our lives, many of which we take for granted nowadays, that did not exist at all about 20 years ago. I didn't thoroughly research this. This may not be perfectly true, but as I looked at these things that I saw on the internet, they were pretty accurate. For example, smartphones like iPhones and Androids and so forth, 20 years ago, it was not something that we even talked about. Smartphones, what would be a smartphone? But today, practically everybody has a smartphone. Things like social media, things like Facebook, which allows us to keep in touch with friends and family scattered all over the nation, all over the world. Facebook has a feature called Messenger, and there's something called Skype and so forth that you can use. FaceTime, I have a product that you can use to talk to people and to see them, and you can make calls and talk to people all over the world without even having to pay any money. Do you remember what it was like many years ago if you had a friend or some family member that was a trip to Europe or was stationed there or something? I mean, you wouldn't talk to them very often because the phone calls were extremely expensive. And even if you had missionaries, you would actually have to wait until their physical letters arrived to share prayer requests. And many times that was weeks after the thing already happened, right? The good thing the Lord knew what their request was. But it was a challenging thing. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, things that did not exist 20 years ago. Other things did not exist 20 years ago. All these Apple products, iPads, iPods, the Apple Watch. A lot of people have Apple Watches. Apple Pencils is there. No such thing 20 years ago. Some other things like video streaming. Last week, I don't know if this affected you at all, but the weather impacted our services at church. Things about not being that big of a snow in West Seneca. I don't know if you all got any more than we did or not, but our services pretty much at the last minute was really coming down. And then decided just to keep people safe and together called the service off. So my wife and I at home, we doing some services for the good Bible preaching church that we grew up. And I got to do some good preaching that morning. But our pastor was thinking about it might be nice if we developed that ability ourselves so that when these things happen, we can stream the services. But 20 years ago, it was extended. We could not be done. Some other things. Drones. Right? My son, the Christmas gave me a little drone. And it's really a remarkable thing. It's about this big, and it was very stable. Flying right in the house. It was right outside too. You can take pictures from it, video from it, and you can even program it. I just didn't do the programming, but you can program it to just perform all kinds of neat methods. Really cost you that much to get that. But those things 20 years ago, what was it? Yeah. For somebody who just droned on and on, maybe speaking. That was about it. Right? Things like audio streaming, stuff, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, there's something I like. You can read this and download it. It's called AbidingRadio.com. Abiding Radio. It's amazing. Wonderful Christian music. You can either have instrumental if you want, or you can have vocal and instrumental. There's a kids station on it. There is seasonal, so Christmas or 4th of July, you get music like that. I think there's even another version of it too. And total free. Some of you might have one of those devices like Alexa. And Alexa plays the instrumental Abiding Radio. And you just say, Alexa, play Abiding Radio. And all of the beautiful Christian music comes out when you're on the station for it. No such thing 20 years ago, but it's been a blessing to me and my family for a number of years. Okay, things like video calls, I mentioned that already, FaceTime and Skype. I have one of my sons, he's our world traveler son. He's taught in many different countries, including Uganda, he's in Kyrgyzstan, one of those things over there. And he taught in Portugal, but we can keep up with him. We can even speak. Because he could get on Skype or Facebook Messenger, and we could talk and get talks to get out. But not 20 years ago. Virtual assistants, things like that, Alexa, where you could say, Alexa, what's the weather? Or Siri, what's the definition of this word? Or, how do you spell this word? No such thing 20 years ago. GPS. Most of us nowadays would be lost without a GPS. How many of you remember the day? I remember the day when my wife and I wanted to travel someplace. She was the navigator. If she had those big apps, and she would be figuring out you say, honey, turn here. Oh, honey, turn there. And then sometimes, there were too many details and they weren't on the Atlas. And therefore, we were sort of lost, But now you just put the address in your GPS. You might have a separate GPS unit, or you might do it on that smartphone. Or just tell you how to get there. 20 years ago, you could do that. Think about Wi-Fi. We've had international students living in our home for a number of years. We don't currently have any. But when they would arrive, pretty much the first thing they would say is, what's your Wi-Fi password? By the way, we probably all do that. You go to the technology and you think, what's your Wi-Fi password? Bring it on the Wi-Fi, connect all of the devices, and they should think. Well, 20 things did not exist. 20 years ago, young people would say, oh yeah, Xbox, they had it pretty much all their lives. 20 years ago, if you took Xbox, somebody would know what you were talking about. Grubhub, DoorDash, Instacart, some of you may have, I've heard of more and more people trying those things, you can just talk to your device or your phone and stand on these groceries and all of a sudden they show up at your door, you couldn't do that 20 years ago. Amazon Prime. I see all those Amazon trucks all over our community, And you order through Amazon Prime, you don't even have to pay shipping, and no such thing 40 years ago. Bitcoin, I have one friend who really got into Bitcoin for a while. He always computed and he was trying to collect these Bitcoins, which are coins you can't touch because it's just something that exists in cyberspace, but yet it's worth money. 20 years ago, if you were talking about something that you can't touch, you can't see or anything, but yet it's worth a lot of money, you would think it's crazy. Yeah, some people would have that. But anyways, Gmail. This is a pretty amazing thing. Actually, I have a Gmail account, but I also have the first Gmail account I had was a Yahoo account. And just a couple weeks ago, so I got a message from Yahoo that says, this is your 20th year Yahoo anniversary, Which means that was my first email account. Before that, 20 years ago, I did not have email. Think about that. I use email pretty much every day. I get messages, I send messages 20 years ago. Before that, I could not do it. Think about Wikipedia. Often people have a question. Now, I don't always recommend necessarily Wikipedia for the greatest of accuracy, but there are a lot of good answers there, but I wouldn't trust it in its entirety, but no such thing 20 years ago. Another one was online bank. I was just actually getting my offering ready for church this morning, and I looked at my checkbook, and since my last offering in church, we haven't written really checks. And I just noticed, we just don't write that many checks anymore. We just go right from, but so much of your bill paying and so forth is done online. Inconceivable 20 years ago. Airbnb, I know the news is that more people have actually housed people who person. You can get a room almost in any city, all kinds of places. You use Airbnb, do it online, and so forth. Not 20 years ago, you did not exist. Uber, I've done that much with Ubering, but I was at a conference in Arizona a while back, and we took an Uber to get to where we needed to go. Did not exist 20 years ago. Uber exists, places like that. Those services just don't exist at that time. But then, I was looking at the internet, thinking about some things that have disappeared for the last 20 years, or at least have come close to disappearing. One of those things was a lot of popular stores, like Toys R Us. When I had little kids, that was their favorite store. No longer does Toys R Us exist, as far as I know. Radio Shack. I do like electronics and things, and I would all of a sudden go to Radio Shack for little parts. No such thing any longer. Stores like Circuit City, Borders, and a whole lot of other ones are on the docket for disappearing as well. They're disappearing from our malls and so forth. It's amazing the changes that occurred in the last 20 years. Calling collect. If you talk to your children or grandchildren about calling collect, they'll say, what? Calling collect? Even paying for long distance? Remember the days when you have to do that? And that's what it is, that's the law of the church. Pager. I remember the day when all kinds of people would have a pager on it. So the new boss could get a hold of them, and there'd be a little buzz, and then they'd have to find the nearest payphone to call their boss and find out what the situation is. No more pagers, as far as I know. I used it to print a map. We talked about that before, right? I still have some printed maps, but it's pretty rare that I really use them. Right? You ask a young person, you know what Kazette does? They probably would have no idea what is a Kazette, right? I still have a lot of them, by the way. But I have this great intention that someday turned into digital so I can listen to my other things and see if that ever happens. Dictionaries and encyclopedias. You know, when was the last time that you actually went to a physical dictionary to look something up? Or an encyclopedia to look something up? Now, you just Google it, nothing. Right? Very rarely do we use books like that. Payphones. I have seen a few of those. A few places. I think maybe some airports, a few other places. Once in a while you can find a payphone, but they're pretty hard to spot anymore in our society. A phone book. Now we still have phone books. Every year, I think it's mandated by the New York State government that phone books are printed. So we probably all get one at our house. But what do we do with it? We throw it out. I usually get to do the coupon very well. I'll take the coupons out before I throw it out. And once in a while, we'll put it in some drawer, never to look at until the next one arrives the next year. But phone books used to be very important, but it's largely disappeared. Dial-up internet. Some of you remember that? Okay? You would dial it up, and there would be all this squeaky, squawky noise. And then finally, you would get to a connection. And then it would take so long to get from one place to another that the next doesn't exist. Okay? Things like lighters and cars. Now, there's still receptacles to plug things in. But when was the last time you actually saw a lighter in a car? I think that's a good thing, right? And well, boy, people smoking the cars, filling their cars with carcinogens is not a good thing, but they don't make those numbers as far as I know, the cars anymore. Some other things that have disappeared, long after lighting the cars, PDA, you know what that stands for either? A personal digital assistant, that was all the rage quite a few number of years ago, where we always were devices, you could write notes on them and so forth, but it's totally been replaced by a smartphone. Slide projectors. I have a whole bunch of slides. Right? I don't know if I even have any parts. slides were really important. They were important in my teaching and lots of things with that. When was the last time you ever used slide projectors? Then probably 20 years ago. Floppy disk, you know, have you noticed when you go to a computer and you want to save something, there's a little picture of a floppy disk? Can you imagine what our young people think about when they see that picture? They're probably like, what the world is that? They would have no idea because they pretty much done for the years. Landline, right? I mean, some of them still have, I still have a landline, although it's not really a landline. It really happens over the internet, but I have a home phone, right? But otherwise, with their cell phones, some people are just older cell phones. Landlines are basically zero. Cursive handwriting, this is a sad one. This is a very sad one. But did you know in many of our public schools, cursive writing is not taught any longer? It's a sad thing because, first of all, I think, hey, you have to at least know how to sign your name to cursive writing. And then when you look at original documents like the Declaration of Independence and things like that, young people, they can't read those things. Okay? And I think it's a good thing. There's some movement bringing that back. It is a valuable thing. There's even evidence that, you know, when you write, like notes, that students write notes out, you think they're going to be better than when you're typing. Some studies have indicated that. But things like film developing. Remember when you used to take pictures, and you might have 12 pictures you could take, maybe 24. I think some goals might have 36 times. But that was it. And you were careful when you took pictures, because every time you made a mistake, it cost you money. And then you would go get the results, and out of the roll of 24, only 3 of them turned out. And you can get a little bit of rebate back, but what a headache. And then sometimes you have to wait days or weeks, or you have to spend a bunch of money if you want to see them real fast. But now, you can take hundreds of pictures, thousands of pictures, see them right away, save them in your storage and so forth. That film development is pretty much here. Library cards. hard caveat with the library. If you, now, but I'm thinking about the card catalog that you use to find books, okay? I mean, I remember graduate school, being at a big university library, going through all these card catalogs, trying to find things for my research. Nowadays, you just jump on the computer. Those things are disappearing. I mean, like, people have gone to most of the public libraries. Television static. Remember, you used to turn the TV on tonight, and there'd be all the snow or static. Okay, last time you saw that, it disappeared in the last 10 years or so. VCRs even. Now, I still have a VCR, okay, and I still have some videos that we did read out quite a few of them recently, but and I must admit, it's been a long time since we've actually used the VCR. Okay? So anyway, think about all the things, all the things that have come, and all the things that have gone. Some people say, and perhaps you've heard this said, that the only constant in this world is change. How many of you have ever heard a statement like that? The only constant in this world is change. Now, by the way, that's an interesting statement to make, and at first glance, it might seem to be correct, but I really believe that it's not correct. In a lot of ways. First of all, I teach science and physics. We have all kinds of constants. In fact, if there were no constants, we should not be physics. But anyway, there are some things that are even, I think, more constant than the constant of physics, and I want to talk about those things in the Word of God tonight. The first one is this, okay? God Himself is a constant that you can count on. The Bible says, in Psalm 102, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yet all of them shall wax old like a garment. As the vesture shalt thou change, and the nature be changed. But notice what it says about God. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The Bible does affirm the fact that there are a lot of changes going on in the world. And the Bible says this universe is growing old. It's waxing old. The earth is waxing old. There is change going on like that. But there is something that does not change, and that is our God. The Bible says that thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. As we read at the end of the message tonight, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a constant that you can count on, and that constant is God Himself. He will not change. Just as He answered prayer 2,000 years ago, He still answers prayer today. Just as He guided the children of Israel as they walked through the wilderness, He guides believers as they walk through the wilderness of life today. He does not change. And you can count on that for the year 2020 and for all eternity. Some other things do not change. We're going to talk about 10 things about God that do not change. Notice His word. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fadeth, for the word of our God shall stand forever. God's word stands forever. It lasts and lasts. That's an amazing thing about God's word, by the way. I like to think about that. You know, other things that men write, you know, often seem to disappear with time, or they become very obscure with time. I mean, we talk about various ancient people. When was the last thing that you, last time that you ever read something by Julius Caesar? Okay? But when was the last time that you read something about it? Or the great Greek philosopher Aristotle. When was the last time that you read any of the works that he wrote? Student of ancient history, and you really like Aristotle. Okay? Really, when was the last time that you read the works written by George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or any other of these famous people? Now, you may have read some. Okay? But those works, even though they were important works, they do not arrest the attention of man like the Word of God. Okay? And the Word of God is something that is so amazing. And by the way, I think a very powerful evidence of the fact that it is the Word of God indeed is the way that it is multiplied. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. The commandment was to spread the word, to declare His glory among the nations. Now, by the way, when Jesus Christ gave that command, did he give each of his disciples $1 million to go do that? No, he didn't have $1 million to give them. Okay? And by the way, was he some famous king or great military ruler that sent his armies to proclaim his word throughout the world? No. Jesus Christ, from an earthly perspective, was the son of a carpenter. He did not have, the Bible says, really a place to call his own a place that knows his head. But yet he said, he gave that command that his word would be spread, and he gave the promise that his word would be spread throughout the world. And by the way, over the last 2,000 years, that's exactly what it is. Today, God's word is more prevalent than it has ever been in all of history. One of the famous atheist philosophers, Voltaire, believed that by the time that he actually predicted within a few years, pretty much the Bible would become extinct. Well, the Bible didn't become extinct. He died. His house, by the way, became a Bible publishing place. And today, the Word of God is all over. It's in bookstores. It's all over the internet. It's on the radio. It's on the television. It's all over the place. Every tribe and nation has really access to the Word of God. It's being translated into more languages than any other book even would begin to think to be translated into. Okay? It is all over the place. God's Word endures forever and forevermore. That comes from the promise. By the way, the promises of God that we find in His Word are things that are constant, that you can count on in the year 2020 throughout all your life and all eternity. Another constant about God is His righteousness and salvation. I love this passage in Scripture. Isaiah 51, verse 6 says, "Lift up your eyes to the heaven and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner." But then notice this. God says, "But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be about." This world is experiencing change. It definitely is. Things are falling apart in this world. Okay? You buy brand new things. Those brand new things get old and they fall apart. You buy a brand new car. Oh, I haven't had many opportunities to do that in my lifetime, but I've had a couple. And it's so exciting when you get that brand new car, or close to brand new car. And it's so shiny. You turn on the engine, you can hardly hear it. And oh, it drives so smoothly. But give it enough time, especially here in the north. Okay? Where the salty grows, and eventually little brown dots begin to appear on that beautiful car. Eventually the little brown dots become big brown dots. Eventually the big brown dots become holes. Eventually, it has happened with other cars that have nowadays, they have different ways to do it, but eventually you go to open the door and the handle comes off, you know? And then you go to start the car, and yeah, there might be silence, but that means it's not working, okay? Or else you hear this big noise. And eventually you say, this car is going to go to the junk. And that's what happens with everything in this physical universe. But there are some things that will last forever. God says that my salvation shall be forever. What a blessing to know that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have something that will not fall apart like an automobile, will not need painting like a house, will not need some kind of repair work done on it. It will last forever. I think about the dear lady Mary. I remember meeting her before, and she knew the Lord as her Savior. And she has eternal salvation. She is with the Lord in heaven and will be there forever, ever, ever. She has a home that will never fall apart. It will never be repaired. She has eternal life. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have something without her. Notice also, God says, my righteousness cannot be about men. May change their ideas of right and wrong. And in our society, men are beginning to say that that which is right is wrong. And they're calling that which is wrong, right. But I'll tell you what, that's a beautiful thing to do, because God says His righteousness shall not be abolished. It would behoove us to find out what God says is right, and to realize if the Creator of the universe says this is right, it is right. And what the Creator of the universe, the Giver of life, says is wrong, that is wrong. God's righteousness shall not be abolished. It won't happen in 2020. It won't happen in 2030. It won't happen anytime. God's righteousness is a concept that you can count on. Well, also I like this. God's love. God's love is a concept that you can count on. I like what the prophet Jeremiah said, he said before, hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee, with what kind of love? An everlasting love. Hey, therefore, with loving kindness that I draw thee. What a blessing it is to know that God's love is a concept. He always loves us. Sometimes we love just like we think we might. We wonder how he could love us. Right? And the Bible tells us that he does. In fact, that promise is repeated so many places in Scripture before God. So loved the world. And how he demonstrated that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him not perish, but have everlasting life. And that life, love doesn't change. Even when you fail him, you still love him. Even when we are really acting up, his love is an everlasting love. It will endure throughout our lifetime. It will endure throughout all eternity. But then know the thing about our God is grace. His grace is something that you can count on. And 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, for the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was going through some difficult times. He had this thorn of the flesh. Bible scholars have debated as to exactly what that was. We don't know for sure, but it was something that was problematical. But Paul knew that God's grace was sufficient for him. And by the way, today, if you are going through a hard time, maybe it's a medical issue, maybe it's a family issue, maybe it's some other financial issue, some other kind of issue, you can count on the fact that God's grace will be sufficient. By the way, I've seen that played out in the lives of so many down through the years. It is a blessing to me when I've seen men and women who have lived for the Lord down through the years. I've met the folks, I've known the folks from the 80s and even their 90s that have walked with God. And they would give you positive proof that God's grace has been sufficient for them. I've seen it in my own life. I've not lived that long. But I've seen that God's grace is always sufficient. Sometimes it seems like there's a problem with this today. I don't know what to do about it. But I have found that God's grace every time is sufficient. It's something that you count on. Notice there's God's forgiveness. It's an amazing thing. Even when we sin against the Lord, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no other verse that says that someday this promise will fail, okay? Or it will stop. Okay? No, God forgives you for the constant that you can count on. You can go to your Heavenly Father. He is grateful. He is filled with forgiveness and love for his children. Notice also that his mercy is something that Ephesians says that God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. In the Psalms, there are various Psalms that talk about his mercy endures forever. We have a merciful God, and his mercy to us continues and continues. It lasts and lasts. It was good for those Old Testament saints. It was good for those who lived during the New Testament era. It was good for us today too, because it's still continues. Notice also that God's power. God is the one who spoke a universe into existence. Theologians refer to him as being omnipotent. That means that he has infinite power. And by the way, he can speak the universe into existence. He is omnipotent. But that same power is power that he continues to have today, so that the scripture, the writer of scripture would say, for with God, nothing is impossible. That is a wonderful thing to think about, even as you go through this year and you come up against some of those problems in your life. You say, man, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. How I'm going to take care of it. But remember this, if God could create a universe just like that with a spoken word, he could solve your problem. He knows the best solution for it. And he has the power to take care of the situation. Notice also about our God, his presence. In Matthew 28, verse 20, the Lord Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our God promises to always be with us. guaranteed promise. The Bible teaches that God is omnipresent. He is always with us. There is no escaping of his presence. The psalmist says, whither shall I go from thy presence? The rhetorical question, the answer is obvious. There's no place where you can go from his presence. For the unsaved person who is trying to run from God, that's a fearful thing. But for the child of God, it's a gentle. You know that your heavenly Father is always with you. When you feel like you are all alone, all your friends are not nearby you, and there's nobody it seems like to help you. Perhaps you're in a place and your church family is not there. You can be guaranteed that God is there. And you can talk to him. And you can continue to walk with him. And he will be there for you, even in the darkest, loneliest time of your life. But also about our God, God has a desire for all the eternity. The Bible tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long as suffering upward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's something you can count on in your saying, what God wants to see people to say. And that's why he sent his son into this world. God wants us to be witnesses of the fact that redemption is possible through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something you can count on in 2020. Well, there are 10 things about us that we can count on too. First of all, the first one is this. You won't know what the Easter day is going to be. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So that's an important truth to keep in mind. We often say, I have all these plans for tomorrow. I often write my plans down. In fact, I have this little thing called Trello. And you can put all your plans in it, organize your day, and so forth. As long as I plan my day and have all this organization in. Something else happened and I just get hardly any of those projects done. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will be. That's a powerful truth. By the way, we need to be prepared for every day. Because we never know the day when the Lord will call us home. Are we prepared to meet our God? For an unsafe person, that's a powerful truth. We wish that person must reckon. And I declare to him to aid you in coming. Better get prepared today, because you know not what day has been for. By the way, we do not know how much longer we have to be a witness to our loved ones, to be a witness to our neighbors. We do not know when they will enter into eternity. We do not know when circumstances will arise that will make it impossible for us to witness them. Both not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will be for. We do not know what any single day may. Also, it's true that we can never bring back yesterday. And Isaiah, the prophet, said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, by the way, it's not saying that you never look at history. But what the Bible is saying there is that you can't go back in time and change it. You just can't do that. You can never get back yesterday. What we do today is what we're going to do today, and when tomorrow comes, we cannot reverse what we did today. It's a powerful truth to consider, even when we think about the words that come out of our mouth, right? Sometimes we allow words to come out of our mouth and not very pleasant words. Words that maybe cut down other people. Words that are negative. Words that do not bring glory to God. And even though we can get forgiveness from God, and maybe from others as well, we can never, ever take back those words. That's going to be constantly true for the year 2020 and throughout our lives. Notice also, we can't please everybody. Galatians chapter 1, the apostle Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or if I yet please men, I cannot be the servant of Christ. Paul realized, you can't please everybody. And so his purpose was not try to please everybody. His purpose in life is to try to please the Lord. Okay? And that's what our purpose in life ought to be as well. Another thing that's true about us is that we will reap what we sow. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's like a natural law written into the universe. You plant a grain of corn, a seed of corn, you get a corn plant. You plant an acorn, you get an oak tree, right? You plant sin, you reap the consequences of sin. And that's a very important thing for people to remember. Oh, sin can be forgiven, but there are consequences if you sin. And those consequences will be reaped. But also there's a positive aspect of this too. When you sow that which is right, there's fruit that will come forth that is good fruit to bring honor to the Lord. Another fact about us is the fact that we will never be able to keep up with growth. And so the Bible says, love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Bible basically is saying, we ought now to never make it our goal to just accumulate things. Things fall apart. The Bible says elsewhere that the thief breaks in his seal. The moth destroys. The robber tries, causes these things to be taken away from us. Okay? All the money that men build for themselves, someday will come. They will fall apart. I like what one observant believer said. He said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done with Christ will last. That's a constant that you can count. Another thing is this, you'll become what you surround yourself with. Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I often like to bring this truth forward as I speak with young people. As young people can learn to have good friends, godly friends, love the Lord, then they tend to become more like them. But if you choose friends who don't love the Lord, friends that want to do that which is wrong, you're going to tend to become more like them as well. It's a basic truth to be fine in nature. Notice this also, 1 John 1:8, you will make mistakes. I wouldn't say to say I'm not going to make a mistake again in my life, but the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in. By the way, I have actually met, not many people, but I've met probably a couple of people in my lifetime. This is as I was witnessing, going out door to door, and I asked them, have you ever committed this sin? I've actually had to do so. Now, I did not want to laugh. I wanted to be respectful. But I think helping to realize that you're deceiving yourself if you think you've never sinned. You do not have to follow me around very long. But even though I may try not to sin, I'm going to sin, right? Because I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace. But I still have that sin nature that I have to battle every single day. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. That's something we have to count. And we need to realize that when we do that, we need to get things right with the Lord. And we need to ask His help to stay away from that sin that we suffer. Then also, another concept for the year 2020 is that we need to believe that the Lord speaks to the church. Hebrews 10, verse 25, gives us a very important affidavit. It says, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some way, but exhorting one another. And so much more as we see the day approaching. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's something misguided about believers giving together, okay? And talking to each other, and praying to each other, and singing together, and praising our God together. It's a blessing. It's just, last Sunday when our service was at camp, I mean, we do enjoy watching Bible Believers Church on TV, but it's just not the same as being there. You know, I couldn't talk to my friends, but I could not pray with them. I could not encourage them. They weren't there to encourage me. Okay? And I'm glad for live streaming and all those things, but there's nothing quite like being in church, being with your friends who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We need to not forsake the assembly of ourselves. We have mercy in that. It says, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. What day is that? That's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Bible teaches that His return is imminent? It's a passing of hope in the twinkling of an eye. Any moment now, Jesus Christ could return. Are you ready for His coming? Okay? The Bible says we ought to be ready for this to happen. We have. Some people say, well, yeah, it was 2,000 years ago. Well, what that means is we're 2,000 Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, really good. And then notice that another truth that will remain constant throughout 2020, throughout all the years to follow, because you can't get to heaven on your own. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All kinds of people like to try to invent other ways to save themselves and to get to heaven. And there are all kinds of philosophies out there, all kinds of religions out there, there are all kinds of places you can call themselves churches. They say, well, what you're going to do is you got to do this thing. And you got to go through this sacrament and these kinds of rites. And be a member here and do this thing and that thing. And make sure you don't do too many bad things so that your good things will outweigh your bad things. The Bible tells you that none of those things are good. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is a truth 2,000 years ago. It's a truth that people have recognized to be true over the last 2,000 years. They've trusted Christ as their Savior, and they have found genuine salvation. They have saved their life. And it's a truth that will continue to this year and the years to come. He is the only way to salvation. Another thing we need to count on is that in the year 2020, we need to have a vision for souls. Our Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, ye are the light of the world, a city that is But he did say, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus taught that principle that ye are the light of the world, ye are the salt of the earth, and that is so desperately needed today. We live in a dark world. Or it might have the glitziness of electronics and the glitziness of technology. But there is a darkness that pervades our world because man is lost in his sin. Even though he has all of his glitzy technological toys and all kinds of fun things to do, and all those things we talk about, the Apple products and so forth, there's something in his soul that's missing. And isn't it an amazing thing? It's a sad thing. But even with all the things we have, all the ways to amuse ourselves, that rates of suicide seem to grow. Among our young people, they are definitely growing. That indicates that there's something written. Someone has said that all of us have a God's fixed within our hearts. And nothing can fill that vacuum but God himself. Right? And we need to be light in this dark world to point people to the only one who can fill that empty. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. Again, an amazing statement. Right? Again, think about Jesus there, just in the area of Galilee. He had never really walked very far in his lifetime at all. He had no money to give to his disciples. But he said, you shall be witnesses in all these places, even to the ends of the earth. And believers for the last 2,000 years and they're fulfilling that mission. But we have a part in that mission as well. We can reach people. I can reach people, you can reach people, and nobody else will ever be able to reach. That's a truth of the year 2020 that we need to take very seriously and very focused. Will we be witnesses for him? We'll reach you. That's the passion that we need as well. I want to leave you with a final question. And the Lord count on you in 2020. We can count on him, but can he count on me? Can he count on you? Let's ask the Lord to help us be those faithful servants that are needed in this dark world. Father, we do thank you for the fact that even though there is change all about us, Lord, you never change. Your word never changes. Preach like Savior. But our Lord, give your word never changes. It's settled forever in heaven, but the Bible tells us. So Father, we thank you for the fact that Lord, you have given us the opportunity to be witnesses of the greatest truth in all of history, that Jesus Christ came into this world. He died upon the cross, but he bore our sins on Calvary's tree. So he rose again from the dead, and that he lives today, and that he can change a person's life for time and for eternity. Help us, Lord, to be a witness. Help us to be constant and light, Father, in this dark world in which we live. Point, people to Christ. Father, we thank you for these things. Well, thank you very much for being here tonight and for listening. And I hope this message will be a blessing to you and something that you're enjoying. To be that light that you need, if you go back to work tomorrow or come back to school or whatever your responsibility is, that's out of the Lord.